Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
When you find Ezekiel 37, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? All right, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. O Lord God, you know. Lord, would you touch our spirit today with your spirit? Would you help us to glean truth from this passage of Scripture that was given so long ago to eccentric Ezekiel? And I ask God that you might help the preacher this morning to rightly divide the word of truth. And Lord, this isn't about me, this is about you. And so speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This may be one of the most familiar passages in the book of Ezekiel. How many of you have ever heard a message or a Sunday school lesson or something from the Ezekiel 37 in the Valley of Dry Bones? Anybody? One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. You know, I don't know if you've ever been walking through the woods or through a field and all of a sudden you come upon some dry bones, some white, bleached, white almost, a skeleton of an animal, some dry bones laying in a field. You understand what I'm talking about? I know you outdoorsmen have seen that. And you see these bones. And that bone that you saw is a sign that where there was once life is now dead. And that's a picture here of the nation of Israel. Israel had once been a vibrant, supernatural organism. They were able to be God's ambassadors, His representatives to a lost and pagan world. But now because of sin, idolatry, and immorality, the nation of Israel was deteriorating. They're decaying and almost disintegrated, and they've been carried off into captivity by Babylon. And they're in bondage now. They're in slavery, and Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians ransacked Jerusalem, tore down the temple, burned the city walls. I mean, Jerusalem was just a shell of what it used to be, and those that weren't killed by the sword, the cream of the crop was carried off to Babylon. And so the people of God now that are in Babylon are in full despair. They're despondent. They're depressed. They had no hope. You ever been there? Well, that's where Israel is. She's nothing more than a valley of dry bones. Now, little did she realize that there's hope. And can I just say to you, I don't know what your situation is here this morning, but there's always hope. And I wished I could have told those three teenage girls this past week that took their life that there's hope. There's hope, because our hope is not in some magical, mystical spirit in the sky. Our hope is in something concrete, and His name is Jesus. And so there was hope for the nation of Israel. God had a plan. He would resurrect and revive His people in the future. There'd be a spiritual revival. The glory of God would come again. And what a wonderful, wonderful story this is. But I want to say this. Primarily, this prophecy deals with the nation of Israel. But there are some wonderful applications for the church today as well. And you'll see those as we move through this passage. And so I want you to get a look at the bones. Did you see the bones? That's exactly what God wanted Ezekiel to do. He took him down in a vision, down in a huge valley, and sat him down in the midst. The Bible says those bones were many, and they were dry. In other words, they were dead. Those bones were a relic of the once great nation that had tremendous life. There was no flesh on them, no sinews. They were dead. And these bones used to have life, and somehow, some way, God wanted Ezekiel to check these bones out. He wanted Ezekiel to see them. And so Ezekiel sits down and got a good look at these bones. And as Ezekiel's sitting down, I want us to sit down. You know, Clarksville is a valley of dead bones. Really. Let me just kind of speak it to you like this. God has placed us in a valley called Clarksville. And we're surrounded, just like Ezekiel was, with dead, dry bones. There are addicts that need to be made sober. There are sexually immoral that need to be made pure. The hungry needs to be fed. The sick need to be healed. The divorcee needs to hear there's hope. The despondent, the despair, those who are struggling with depression need to hear they can be made whole. You don't have to stay the way that you are. And of course, the lost need to be saved. Do you see those bones this morning? Do you see that valley of dead, dry bones? What caught my attention several years ago about Montgomery County is when we were doing a men's conference, and Dr. Larry Robertson and I were sitting together having lunch that day, and we got to talking about Clarksville, and he said, you know that Clarksville is 86% unchurched. That was 5 years ago. What do you think those figures are like now? We are in a valley of dead, dry bones, my brothers and sisters. We're surrounded by them. The home today is full of dead bones. Husbands are not loving their wives like Christ loved the church. Wives are not admiring and respecting and supporting their husbands as the church does Christ. Children are living in disobedience to their parents. Our homes are filled with dead bones. What about our schools? Think about, just take a look at our school. How many of y'all remember, you're old enough to remember when the Bible was read and you prayed in school? Wow. I went to Barksdale Elementary, and believe it or not, our principal, Albert Alcock, every now and again, would get on the intercom and we'd hear a prayer or some scripture. And then I'd go into Miss Council's first grade classroom every single morning, and she would open up that huge, big, black King James Bible, and she would read a passage of Scripture to us, and then she would pray over us in her first grade homeroom class. And then we would get up and say the Pledge to the Allegiance, Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I mean, and now? Oh my, my. Drug dogs are roaming the hallways of our schools. Cops guarding the entrances and exits of our schools. Homosexuality is being taught as an alternative lifestyle. And evolution is being taught not as theory, but as fact. We've got children killing children in our schools. I want to tell you, our schools are full of dead bones. But let me say this. Dead bones are not only outside of the church building, dead bones are now also inside the church building. There is a famine in the land. And a lot of the problems that we're facing today starts right here in this pulpit. Instead of hearing the pure and undefiled gospel from our preachers, many of our pastors and preachers have watered down the gospel. And they're not hearing the undefiled Word of God like we ought to hear it. Places that once used to be places of churches of evangelism and missions and discipleship are now nothing more than social clubs. Instead of preaching the gospel, we're preaching something else. I've never heard some of the... Well, I don't want to get into all that, but I did hear a sermon on Andy Griffith one time. You think that's what we ought to be preaching? Mayberry, RFD? No, we're to be in this book preaching truth. And Pastor Mike Burnett, we had him here, pastor of Life Point. Had him here Monday night. And he made the statement, he preached out of Revelation 2 and said that we're like the Ephesians and the church at Ephesus who had lost their first love. Well, I want to take it a step further and believe we're over in Revelation 3 now. We're in the Laodicean age. The church thinks that we're okay and that we're wealthy and that we're... But that's not what it says. The Bible says that we're blind, poor, wretched, and naked, that we are not hot or cold, we are lukewarm. And that's right where the church is today. And that's the problem with our society. That's the problem with our cities and our counties. We need the joy of our salvation to return. We need the Spirit of God to fall fresh on us if we're going to see these dead bones come to life. Let me ask you this. Have you got a personal time of intimacy with the Lord every morning? Are you in your Bible every morning? You're going to hear this man say it again and again and again this morning during Bible study. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Do you spend time in prayer? Do you have a prayer closet? You see where the problem lies? The Bible says judgment begins where? In the house of the Lord. And so we've got dead bones outside the church. We've got dead bones in the church. And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now, could Israel be a great nation again for the Lord? Oh, yes. And could the church in Montgomery County come to life and become who we're supposed to be? Oh, yes. But I love Ezekiel's response. Did you catch that? Don't miss this. He says, "Oh Lord God, you know. Oh Lord God, you know." Israel needed a miracle. And I want to tell you, we need a miracle. We can't fix this with politics. We can't fix this with a code to do better. We can't fix this with our self-help strategies and all these motivational books and stuff. We can't. We need for God to do the impossible. And by the way, He's able to do the impossible. Is there anything too hard for God? Look at your neighbor. Whoever you're sitting with is your neighbor, by the way. And ask him, is there anything too hard for God? Maybe you're in a dead marriage. Maybe you're in a dead marriage. God can put your marriage back together. Maybe you're battling some type of deadly disease. All healing comes from God. He specializes in doing the impossible. Maybe your children are rebelling against authority figures. Let me tell you, our God is the God of the living and the dead. He is able. He is able. And with Him, anything is possible. So we're sitting here looking at these bones today with Ezekiel. And then I want you to see the breath. I want to talk about the breath for just a minute. Look at verse 4. Again, He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Did you catch that? What does God want Ezekiel to do? What does the word prophesy mean? He wants Ezekiel to preach the word to him. To dead bones? He wants Ezekiel to preach the word of God. And I want to tell you, there is power when the word of God is preached. There is power when the word of God is shared. There is power when the word of God is taught. There is power when the word of God is prayed back to God. There is power in the preaching of the word. But when you study the great revivals that took place in Bible history and the great revivals that took place in church history, I mean, they all began, and God used in every single one some prophet, some spokesperson, some mouthpiece, some preacher to get the word of God to the people of God. And today, I've been in so many, they want to cut the preacher's time. They want the preacher to change his subject matter. And they don't want you to ruffle any feathers. They don't want you to preach on anything controversial. The great evangelist back in the early 1900s, Billy Sunday, who was quit playing professional baseball to go preach the gospel, he was a strong preacher. And they told Brother Billy one Sunday, his name was Billy Sunday, and they told Billy, they said, "Man, your preaching's a little bit tough." He said, "You're rubbing the fur on the cat the wrong way." And he said, "Well, if the cat would turn around, I'd be rubbing the fur the right way." Some of y'all will get that next Monday. But I want to tell you, thank God for a preacher who will stand up for a Sunday school teacher and a Bible study leader who will lovingly give you the truth of God. Amen. That's what we need. Amen. And look what happens. This is so awesome. Verse 5. So, thus says the Lord God to these bones, "Surely I'll cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I'll put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied, Ezekiel said, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Ezekiel began to preach the word to them. And by the way, he wasn't sitting on some bar stool with his shirt unbuttoned down to his navel with a medallion on, dialoguing with the people. Some of y'all will get that next Tuesday. He just preached the word of God. He gave the people the word of God to dead folks. What do dead folks need? They need life. Dead folks need life. Y'all with me? And so Ezekiel begins to preach to the bones. Suddenly, he hears this bone-chilling noise. Those bones begin to shake, rattle, and roll. And they stand up. And they begin to come together. Some of y'all remember this. The toe bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone. Knee bone connected to the thigh bone. Well, those bones are rattling. And they're coming together. And it's an amazing thing that we see happening. But there was no life in these bones. They even took on flesh and sinew, and they looked like they had life. But do you know, sometimes bones will come together and they'll rattle, but it's not the rattle of life, it's still the rattle of death. You know, sometimes bones will get up and shake and rattle, and then for long they fall right back into the grave. Looks like they're going to have life. but there's no life. Why? Because the Spirit of God's not involved. Now, I want you to see what happens next. If the Spirit of God doesn't breathe into somebody's life, hello, they'll never come to life. Look at verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy, proclaim, preach to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. Now, my brothers and sisters, we could get Billy Graham up in here, if we could, at the age of 35, fresh, in the prime of his life, and he could preach the greatest sermon he's ever preached in his life, but if the Spirit of the Holy One doesn't come down and breathe, everybody leaves dead. No message. You see, the key is that the Spirit of God would breathe on people. This word breathe is your Old Testament word, ruach, which means spirit, capital S, wind, or breath. It's the same word that's used over there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And so what's happening here is Ezekiel preached to the Spirit that the Spirit might breathe on these dead, dry bones. And that's what happened. They came to life, and a vast, huge army stood up for the Lord. Can I just share y'all? This is one of the verses. Verse 10 is one of the verses God used to get the Hampton family back home. God told me that He was going to raise up, that He was going to breathe, and the Spirit of the Lord was going to come upon God's people, and a vast army was going to stand up that would be willing to storm the gates of hell. And I want to tell you, there's about a dozen of you all that are here, and if you're with me, I'd charge hell with a water pistol. But we're not talking about 10 or 12. We're talking about a vast army. We're talking about the church coming together. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to see happen? Isn't that what we need? Come on, isn't that what we need? Montgomery County needs a vast army of Spirit-filled, victory-thrilled, Bible-drilled believers who will get out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and quit worrying about what God or what somebody else might say to you. Quit worrying about being rejected. Or quit. Listen, Jesus said, if it happened to me, it's going to happen to you. What a message for us this morning from the book of Ezekiel. And it'll never happen, though, unless the Spirit of God begins to blow the winds of revival into your heart and mind. Quickly, let's close this thing. Let's take a look at the blessing. Verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, listen to 14. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Now the immediate prophecy, of course, applies to the nation of Israel. These people thought it was game over. The Israelites thought they were done. There was no hope. God wasn't with him. And they've been carried off into captivity. They're broke, busted, and disgusted. I mean, they are down. They're depressed. And they're wondering, is there any hope? And all of a sudden, in this tremendous prophetic word from God, Israel begins to realize, we do have a hope. God is going to bring us back to the land. Isaiah 66:8 says in one day God would bring Israel back to the land of, not of Palestine, but the land of Canaan. And you know what? On May the 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. Isn't that amazing? The Word of God. Jews from all over the world are coming home to Israel today. Millions of them coming back to the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Prime Minister Netanyahu, a few months back, claimed Ezekiel 37 had been fulfilled. Well, not completely. You see, there's still a valley of dead bones. They're spiritually dead. Israel is secular. Israel's not saved. Israel's not an evangelistic nation, not a God-fearing nation. They're secular. But oh, let me tell you, one day, Israel is going to look upon their Messiah, and they will be wonderfully and gloriously changed for all of eternity. They will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their long. Israel has a great future. And the world tells us today there's no hope. No hope. No hope for your children, for your home, for your family, for your grandchildren. No hope for our nation. But I want to tell you, there is hope. Because our hope is in the Lord. I see revival happening. And so, did y'all see these kids sit? Well, here they are again. They're not in the back. They're sitting right up here. Y'all are up underneath the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. I see revival beginning to take place in our children and in our young people. Y'all know how many kids we had back here last Sunday for? 30 children. I just want to shake some of you till your teeth fall out and let you know revival's coming. And you need the joy of Jesus to flood your soul. You need to get joy unspeakable. You need to be full of glory. God wants to revive your home, your family. God wants to blow the winds of revival in this church. Oh, there's been a little stirring this week. We've had a little rattling going on, but we have not seen what God wants to do. Oh, no, not yet. But I want to tell you, there's hope because the Word of God tells us. Paula Gullett, right in here Wednesday morning, gave a word of prophecy to the church. She said, God, I was reading in my Bible one day just a few days ago, and God said, shout! The city has been given to you. Whoo! I want to tell you, I about started running, and I can't run anymore. You know? And then Wednesday night, when Cindy, the first lady, when Cynthia Pitts began, she began to speak a little bit. And she said the night before, God had come to her in a vision and a dream. And she saw God's hand, literally, coming down on this spiritually dark city of ours. There's hope. And it's all found in Jesus. If you're here this morning, this message is by and large for the church. But if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, the winds of salvation will blow across your heart and soul. And you can be saved today. And if you want revival, you've got to be willing to say yes. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I don't know what the Lord wants to do, but would you not join me, church family, in this Holy Ghost-filled, this bone-chilling, this life-giving revival? Would you be willing to just say yes this morning to whatever God is calling you to do all over the building? Are you willing to say yes to whatever God is calling you to do? That's when revival comes. I want you to bow your head. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. If I can get Jared to strum on something, play something. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of you are here and you're not sure about your salvation. Oh, listen, I'd love to share with you how you can be saved. We have counselors here. Well, you can leave here saved. We can get that issue took care of once and for all. Some of you need a church home. I would hate to be out in this place without a church family. Some of you need to follow through in believers' baptism. And the vast majority of us in here today need revival. Would you be willing to say yes to revival? And it takes more than just staying right there in your seat. You see, there's an accountability that comes forth when you step out and come to an old-fashioned altar like many of you did already this week. So I want to ask you, would you come and pray and seek God's heart and let Him speak to you this morning as a sign of accountability? I want God's best for my life. I want revival to blow in my life. Father, speak now. Your servants are listening. May we have a bone-chilling, life-giving, soul-saving, sin-convicting, Holy Ghost-filled revival right here at Second Mile Church. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.